following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Car a clean slate this spring with savings from Napa. Stop into any Napa Auto Parts store this April and pick up some Seafoam motor treatment or TransTune on sale for $6.48. That's more than 30% off to stabilize your fuel, decarbon your engines, and free up your lifters and carb jet. So hurry in and make your car one mean, clean running machine. Keep it clean, guys, just like this radio spot at participating Napa Auto Parts store. Offer expires 4/30/12.
The Home Depot's made a special buy on Scott's Turf Builder Easy Seed. For just $14.74, you get a 6 1/4 pound bonus size bag. It grows in tough conditions, and for the same price as the small jug, you'll get over 60% more seed for free. Get more spring per dollar and tell your lawn it's time to grow up with a 6 1/4 pound bag of Scott's Easy Seed, just $14.74. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
It's 11 a.m., and that means it's time for the Doug and Daddy Show. You know the guys, but let's learn a little bit more about our hosts. First up, Sports Director Doug Duda.
If he were to give you directions, you'd never get lost, and you'd arrive at least 5 minutes early. His legend precedes him, the way lightning precedes thunder. If he were to mail a letter without postage, it would still get there. His blood smells like cologne. The police often question him just because they find him interesting.
Now let's learn a little bit more about Big Daddy Tony Davis.
His charm is so contagious, vaccines have been created for it. When it is raining, it is because he's thinking about something sad. His hands feel like rich brown suede.
His personality is so magnetic, he is unable to carry credit cards. He never says something tastes like chicken, not even chicken. He's a lover, not a fighter. But he's also a fighter, so don't get any ideas.
Find out what it is in life that you don't do well, and then don't do that thing.
Lucky for us, the guys are good at talking sports. So let's head to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good Friday morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's a sad day. It's a sad day, Daddy.
I'm sorry you're sad.
Spring football's over.
Oh, that's a good day. That's a good day. But it's not all that sad.
It's not that sad?
Not when you're the number two seed.
Oh, no, 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 no.
That's what we do here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We bring you the latest news of the National Championship women's bowling team from the University of Nebraska. The number one seed, Vanderbilt, takes on Valparaiso. Maryland Eastern Shore takes on Sacred Heart. In the other side of the bracket, Nebraska's opponent, the pesky Central Missouri squad. And on the same side of the bracket, Farley, Dickinson, and Arkansas State, the Indians of Arkansas State. I don't care what their name is now. They've been the Indians for a long time. They will remain the Indians for me, but Friday's matches will be a best-of-seven Baker format. All five bowlers alternate frames of the match. First team to win four games advances on. So good luck, Lady Huskers. Huskers started the day hot, winning each of the team's first four matches, Eastern, Shore, Maryland.
But then what happened?
Well, they defeated. Well, they beat up on Valparaiso. They beat up on. They beat all the good teams. And they dropped three straight to Central Missouri, Sacred Heart, and Arkansas State. Two of those teams on the side of their bracket. Kayla Johnson led the way, 216.3 average through seven games. She shot a 245, was her high of the day. Good enough for second overall. Second only Valparaiso's Natalie Cortez, 218.4 average. Christy Mickelson, our other All-American, finished ninth through seven games, a 201.4 average. So congratulations, they are the number two seed. Round one got underway this morning, 7:50 go time. So they were pouring down red ones.
They're bowling right now. We're going to give you an update.
Well, that's fine. It started
8:50. You said 7:50.
Central. Okay, sorry. I was going to the Eastern time zone. It did start at 8:50. I'm sorry.
We've got to get you a chart. Which Big Ten schools are in the Eastern time zone and which one remain in the Central? Well, we'll work on that. Coming up on the show today, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated to talk about where the Huskers have been this spring and thoughts on the spring game tomorrow and everything else that's going on in Big Ten football. Also going to catch up with Steve Anderson, track announcer at Fauner Park, preview what's going on this weekend. We'll give you one final chance to win tickets to tomorrow's spring game. Might be a little windy, but it sounds like maybe the rain will miss. It's supposed to come after the game, maybe right after the game. But again, tomorrow you've got volleyball right after that as well, so if you want to go check it out with Wichita State, that's going on. Busy weekend in Lincoln, always fun when you haven't been there since November to head back to Lincoln and do your Nebraska party and however you like to do it.
Nebraska picks up another oral commitment for 2013. Josh Banderas, Lincoln Southwest. Of course, his dad, Tom, played for the University of Nebraska. Looks to be one of the best linebackers in the state, and Sean Callahan a long, long time ago said that he was probably the marquee player or the number one recruit out there, which people would be going after. If his dad played at Nebraska, you live in Lincoln, Nebraska, I think a lot of people assume that he would be a Nebraska Cornhusker. He firmed that decision to Huskers Illustrated last night, and so good for him. We'll take him. And then he came out of Bo Pelini's office, he said in the paper today, and he said Courtney Love's standing there, and I thought she died long ago, but apparently, Courtney Love's a linebacker.
A weirdo.
Courtney Love's a linebacker we're trying to get to out of Ohio.
You're just weird. She's still alive, by the way.
Oh.
God, you're weird. 888-455-ESPN, or you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Also some sad news, Daddy, next year they're going to, it's like the UFL. You take a hiatus, that's pretty much it. You suspend your presidential campaign. No one's ever come back from suspending their presidential campaign. You quit is what you did. You got out of the race. It's all over for the Lingerie Football League.
They're done. 2012 season, but it's in order to expand the sport abroad and refocus.
No, it's
a warm weather game.
What are they expanding again?
Spokesman Jim Wallen. Is Jim, what, Jim in the big bucks or what? The LFL. I'm president of the LFL. What is that exactly? They're going to resume playing in April 2013. Yeah.
No, they're not.
So's the Omaha. So's that team in Omaha. Mm-hmm. That deal's working out great.
And what are the Saints thinking, Daddy? Why would you name your interim coach a guy that's suspended for 6 weeks? 6 games? The whole what?
Well, they're down to the vice president now. And then the vice president can't perform the task, so then you're down to the whoever next in line is, and that's the offensive line coach. Will take over for the first 6 games, and then Joe Vitt will come back.
Without even looking at their schedule, over under number of wins, you would call what right now for the Saints of New Orleans?
You're talking your season without Joe. I mean, or the first 6 games?
No, the whole season. They play 16 games. Haven't signed Drew Brees, which you expect them to do. They don't have a coach. What do you think? If I told you the number was 6, what would you take?
Over. They're too talented. Unless those defensive players are suspended. You don't know that yet. I would say 9.
Okay, I would take the under immediately. Immediately.
Okay.
I would take the under immediately. We'll have to see how that all pans out. Today, I would take the under on what the Saints are doing.
I'm with you though. When they named him head coach, I would have thought that they would have went somewhere worse. I mean, if you're going to name the offensive line coach the coach for the first 6 games, then you have a little continuity going that he would remain if things were going well, but whatever. But, oh, well, that's the way they're going to do it. So Joe Vitt, like you said, sit out the first 6 games, then he'll come back, show up on Monday morning after the 6th game and go, okay, I'm the coach now.
Yeah, and that's got to work out good. Talked about the new football recruit. How about the new baseball recruit? Reporting that Arden Hills, Minnesota left-handed pitcher Max Knutson was in attendance for 2 games last weekend and committed to coach Darren Erstad Saturday. He's ranked as the 13th overall pitcher in the country and the 97th overall player in the nation by Perfect Game. 6'2", 190-pound lefty, has a fastball in the low 90s. Could play in the outfield if the pitching doesn't, he may go back and forth there a little bit. Told Husker Online he throws a four-seam and a two-seam fastball, a slider, and a changeup.
Okay, that's perfect, but if he's a high school kid, you got to get him through the draft, right?
Correct.
I mean, yep. So that he can commit all he wants, and then if you're the 13th overall pitching prospect, you probably go in the second round, I'm assuming, somewhere.
And did I miss something? Because I've been watching and listening to a little bit of Royals baseball, home opener this afternoon at 3:05 on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, and Royals baseball all season. We listened. You're going to have them all on the Breeze, 94.5. Did I miss something? Because I didn't see Bubba Starling in the starting lineup.
No, Doug, that's a process.
Oh.
Didn't know. No. That's 3 years away.
Okay.
Down the road. He's not on the team yet.
Quicker than Gordon? Will he get there quicker or not?
I think they probably learned a lesson with Gordon. Probably rushing him there was not the thing to do.
Well, they probably have more talent, too, that they might be able to take care of business with. On the Doug and Daddy Show, there we are, your latest. Nebraska baseball at Ohio State beginning tonight, 5:35, 2:05 tomorrow, 12:05 on Sunday, and you can hear the games on 12:30 a.m. KHAS. UNK hosts Metro State in baseball this weekend, tonight at 6, tomorrow the doubleheader at 1, Sunday at noon. The UNK softball team is at Colorado Mesa. The Hastings College softball and baseball teams are on the road. Baseball playing at Morningside Saturday, Briarcliff Sunday. Those games are on 12:30 KHAS. The softball team plays at Briarcliff Saturday and Midland University on Sunday.
Go ahead.
One final note. They're sick. Oh, by the way, as I'm going past Kearney High a couple times today, how many buses does it take to get the Kearney track team to a meet?
There's an entourage. That's all I know.
They are on their way to Omaha for a big meet today, where they will be taking part in the Dick Jones Invite at Burke Stadium, home of the state meet, and usually their toughest test of the regular season. So that's among the activities that are going on today. But the Kearney soccer team has got to be walking around, running into lockers today, running into walls, going, what happened?
Matter of fact, there was a car pulled over. Somebody was throwing up in the ditch. It was Scott Steinbrook on my way here. It was
Grand Island finds it. Now, Kearney has dominated this series until the last 2 years when Grand Island has put together these outstanding teams to be competitive. And Grand Island scored 3 goals in the final 7.5 minutes, down a man because they lost a guy to a red card. So they were a man short and scored 3 goals. And remember, Kearney had given up 2 total goals all year. And they're 80 minutes into this match, 70 minutes into this match, and they give up 3 goals in the last 7.5 minutes. And for the second straight year, Grand Island makes a huge comeback, which you just don't see in soccer, and they beat Kearney by another 4-3 score. But both teams will be okay.
Oh, hopefully, that would be awesome to have down the road at state tournament, to have 2 out-of-city teams like Grand Island and Kearney.
Well, it'll be awesome to have Grand Island play Kearney for the state championship.
That would be really awesome.
It's going to be tough, though.
It would be very, very tough. Douglas, you're up, though. Now, Grand Island had the wind in the second half. So people are going, well, how did that happen? So Kearney had trouble clearing the puck, from what I understand.
Well,
they couldn't get the ball down to the other end because the wind's blowing pretty good, just like it has a lot of the spring.
Last goal deflects off of a Kearney player for an own goal. It goes off their side back and goes back into the goal. So
momentum.
Just
momentum.
One of those freaky things that happens in sports. Creighton Prep, the number one team. Grand Island and Kearney are 2-3. Then everybody else that's ranked had at least 3 losses going into the week. So we'll see how that all plays out. Whatever you're doing, maybe you're getting ready to go down to the spring game. You know it's always about the tailgating. And at Troutman's Quality Meats, there's a huge difference that you can taste. Check out Troutman's. You've got graduation coming up. They've got specials on pulled pork, smoked brisket, shredded beef, and shaved ham, salads as well. Now you're thinking, I don't know how to fix all that. They're going to help you. And it's so simple. And when the food is that great, you don't even have to be a good cook. They're going to take care of you. Certified Angus ground beef, 90% ground beef chuck, 80% lean ground beef. Flat irons are just $8.69 a pound. quarter pound and third pound patties when you get your ground beef as well. So whatever you're looking for, they have got you taken care of. Always good food coming out of the smokehouse. Fresh sausages right now. They've got garlics. They have got fresh brats and smoked sausages as well at Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend at what? Right across the street from Bob's Superstore Kearney.
Yeah, T-Bone's waiting for you. Carrie's behind the counter.
Can't do any better, folks. It's the best in town at Troutman's. Back after this, we'll talk to Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated.
Get in the zone. When your check engine light comes on, head to AutoZone right away. Because the most common causes for a check engine light are problems that reduce gas mileage. The experts at AutoZone can help you read those trouble codes for free and find out what they mean so you save gas. Plus, we'll provide you with the tools and tips to keep your car running as efficiently as possible. Start saving at the pumps now with expert help from AutoZone. Parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone.
AutoZone.
The weather's getting warmer, and Lowe's has everything you need to make the most of spring. That's why Lowe's offers free delivery on all in-store and online purchases of riding and walk-behind mowers, grills, and patio sets, $249 or more. Plus, save more by choosing 18-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offer is valid through April 16th. Special financing cannot be combined with 5% off everyday credit offer. See store for details.
Well, looks like we're tailgating.
Our two favorite teams are playing.
That means we're going to Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill.
The only true sports bar.
Jinx, you owe me a beer.
And the only place where the flavor of the food is as epic as the portion.
Just like a great tailgate party.
Friday at 6, Bullseye's is a danger zone with a two-hour meet and greet with Nebraska Danger players. Prizes and tickets to win, too.
Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill.
Across from the water park on West 2nd in Hastings.
Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio. Two of the favorites to reach the playoffs in the American League face off in the Bronx.
Fastball hit high and deep to left field for Get. Albert Pujols rocks one.
As Albert Pujols and the Angels go head-to-head with Derek Jeter and the Yankees.
Goal! A grand slam for Derek Jeter.
The Yankees and Angels, Sunday Night Baseball on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll have a blend of clouds and sunshine here for today with a slight chance for some scattered showers or storms early on. We'll have winds turning westerly at 5 to 15 miles per hour, and we'll see a high near 74 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 61.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Oh, we've been, during the break, we've been, you know, there's live video from Ohio of Nebraska women's bowling going on right now. And it's just, it's a battle. But you know what? You can't tell anything by it, can you, Jeff? Except that they're battling Farley Dickinson.
Is that live here on the Doug and Daddy Show? It's Nebraska, like, women's bowling.
It's like you just got a still camera at the Big Apple, and they just stand behind each other and they bowl as fast as they can.
Jeff, figure that out, would you?
Well, just looking at the scores, based off, I think, the sixth frame, Nebraska's in the lead.
Yeah, but we just don't know how many games they've played.
But Farley Dickinson's on a turkey right now, so you know they've got the momentum.
They're trying to throw the ham bone. And I know we're taking Mike Babcock of Husker Illustrated away from his computer right now to join us on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk Nebraska football. Mike, good morning. How riveting is this bowling?
Well, no, I'm taking notes right now. So,
you had no idea what was going on, did you, Mike?
Let's see, turkey. Now, how do you spell that?
Nice.
Here's the question: How are the fundamentals of releasing that ball? What's the technique?
Well, you know,
do I need to work on that a little bit?
No, it looks okay, but I'm a little concerned what they do when they go off camera, because you can see some smoke and some frosties. So I don't know what's going on off camera over there.
We're thinking a lot of red beers this morning as early as they're bowling.
No, you know, the Huskers are not involved in that. Oh. Probably just the carryover atmosphere from the bowling alley.
Well, the spring game is going on tomorrow. Football spring wraps up, and everybody's jacked up in Husker land once again because they didn't have any winter sports to root for. But, Michael, as we get ready, this is so much more. Well, it's not a football game. It's a glorified practice, and it becomes more vanilla every year. It seems to me it's more about what goes on around with recruiting, some of the ex-players coming back. I know Steve Warren has a big charity event going on tonight and this weekend. So it seems more about a gathering of exes and future Huskers than it does to have anything to do with what actually goes on the field tomorrow.
Well, yeah, gathering is probably a good word for it. You know, now that this is going to be televised this year, I think this is the first year that it's been televised since Bo's been the coach. I think that's right.
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway, so that just means that Bo, as he indicated, is just going to be more vanilla than he would have been otherwise, and he would have been pretty vanilla anyhow. So, that's the nature of it. But it does give people an opportunity maybe that can't get down here during the football season to experience what it's like, and that, you know, there's a little sense of that, and there's kind of excitement involved at this time of year because your record is spotless and you're only as good as people can imagine you're going to be, and so I think there's a lot of positives, and it does help recruiting. You know, you put 50, 60, 70,000 people in there for a practice, you know, that's impressive for recruits to come in. So I think there's a lot of positives involved in it, and you know, we probably get a little bit cynical about the fact that it's not a real game, but I don't think that's really I don't think that's all that important.
Mike, I want to ask you about Bo Pelini. I think he took on a whole new – his demeanor just changed this spring. Any idea what happened? You've taken Dirk to lunch, and they're having glasses of wine, and he's got kittens running around. He was friendly all spring, never – not one blow-up. What changed with Bo Pelini?
Well, I think, part of it is he's just more relaxed. I mean, he's 4 years into this thing, I think you're going to become you're going to make an adjustment here, and this is his first head coaching job. I think he's understanding maybe more the dynamics of what it takes to be a head coach, all the things that are involved in that. I do think that he seems more relaxed this spring, but again, you know, the record is unblemished, and there's always some optimism in the spring. But I think it's mostly just a function of his having been a head coach now for 4 years going into his fifth. And it's obviously it's a little different than at the end of last season when the question was, is this program stuck in neutral? I mean, that kind of hit a sore spot there, and he defended the program. But I think if you look at it realistically, they've done a pretty good job. I mean, you've got 4 seasons of 9 wins, a couple of 10-win seasons in there. Where it was when he took over, I think it's going in the right direction. And I think that, that probably has something to do with it as well.
Mike, of all the spring games you've covered, are there two or three things that you remember about spring ball? I mean, is there one or two that stands by, that was kind of neat, or we learned something that day, or not really?
Not really. I mean, I think I counted it up. This will be number 34 for me, the spring games that I've seen. But I didn't expect that. And it's always been kind of a cool thing to see former players come back that part of it. Nothing really stands. I guess the one thing that stands out is a guy could have a big spring game and you might never hear from him again. I mean, sometimes that happens, and that's kind of the function of the spring. But, the one I always refer to, I didn't see it, but 1956, first year that only year that Pete Elliott was the coach. It was his first spring game and his last spring game. They still played the varsity against the alumni team, and the alumni team won. Now, how would you like to go into your first and only season as head coach at Nebraska having lost the spring game to a bunch of overweight alums? I mean, that's the definition of not good alumni support. You know, how the NCAA is always slamming programs for getting too much alumni support. That's not good alumni support when you lose to the alums in the spring game. So, had I been at that one, I would have remembered that one for sure.
Mike Babcock, well, again,
historian.
Mike Babcock, Huskers Illustrated, and he has covered the Huskers longer than anybody in the business right now. The one thing that I always bring up at spring game is I remember, and I will remember this until the day I'm no longer here, was how the jump in the spring game when Bill Callahan was named the coach, and that's when we went from 30,000-40,000 people to now you have to get reserve tickets to go to the spring game, and the stadium's under construction, so the 60,000 that were there were jammed in, and he brings them out in that full house backfield, and then they audible out into five wide, and the crowd goes nuts, and I said, be careful what you wish for, and look what happened.
You know, that's a good point, because that's kind of one of the things I remember about Bill's time here is all the shifting that they did. And sometimes the defense didn't even move. I mean, Nebraska is shifting guys all over the place. And I'm thinking, well, maybe this is not exactly confusing the defense, because or maybe it confused the defense so much that it was paralyzed. It couldn't move. That spring game, that first year, there was a lot of shifting going on there.
Well, Mike, what would you think? This came up earlier in the week, Dabo Swinney saying, hey, maybe we should have some inter-squad scrimmages or do something like that. What would your thoughts be on, say, Nebraska playing in Iowa State or in Oklahoma? I mean, obviously, you'd want to play somebody that you knew you were going to beat. It's just like a Division I AA game. I think it's ludicrous. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea, and I'm not going to offer any great insight here, but here's the thing. Coaches are so competitive. If you ended spring practice with a scrimmage, but against another team, regardless of what it was, you would spend most coaches would spend the entire spring preparing to play that scrimmage with that other team, because you know we're conditioned now to believe that that would probably have some effect on how people perceive that team come fall. I mean, I just don't see a competitive coach or players wanting to go into a spring scrimmage at the end of the year against another team and do anything except win that game and be convincing. So you would, I think, defeat the purpose of spring football, which is to get guys that haven't had an opportunity to get in there and compete. And, you know, what we're going to see on Saturday probably is kind of mixing and matching guys working with first unit guys and second unit guy or whatever. That kind of combination, you're not going to be able to do that if you're preparing for a spring game against somebody. I just think the implications would it'd be like a 13th game in your schedule. You just play it in the spring instead of in the fall.
Mike Babcock joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Mike, everybody's gonna want to see receivers catch the ball, and they want to see these running backs that are behind Burkhead do what they do. You're not going to see a lot of Taylor Martinez. But if you're a true football fan, the offensive line's got a lot of question marks there and taking over games in dominating fashion, returning that Nebraska to the good old days, if you will. I think it's what a lot of people are going to focus on. The biggest question on the offensive line, for me it's center, for you it's what?
Well, I think that you're probably right, because the center makes the check calls and it's so important, and you're replacing a two-year starter in Mike Caputo, and you know his ability to get guys lined up right and the things that he did. But you know, I think they feel pretty good about the competition in the spring with Cole Pensick and Justin Jackson. You know, Justin's a great story. He's a walk-on guy, and he's played some defensive tackle or whatever. And then Mark Pelini's been in that competition. I think they felt good enough about it that you know, a little ways in, they moved Ryan Reeves, who was also competing for center. They moved him over to guard. And, you know, he's coming off a red shirt. I know they're really high on him. So I thought the fact that they moved Reeves to guard probably was an indication that they feel pretty good about the competition. And I'll be watching number 62, because I think Cole Pensick is probably the guy that's going to handle that job. And Tim Beck said that he was impressed with the leadership that Cole Pensick had shown. And that sometimes a guy just has to have an opportunity to step in there, and he does step up and show that leadership. And so I think they feel pretty good about Cole Pensick. He's kind of a Caputo type. He's not a real big guy, but he's pretty strong, and he can get underneath the defensive lineman and So I think that that's an important question, obviously, to be answered. But I think they feel like they've got the answers pretty well in hand.
Mike Babcock is with us on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. So many things have to come together with maturation and experience and years in the business and upperclassmen, whether you're talking players or coaches. But, Mike, obviously there's a lot of changes with the coaches, with Kaczynski in and Joseph in, and, of course, moving Papuchis to defensive coordinator. Carl is not here, not only as a coach, but as Bo's brother. Your thoughts, can we tell yet what these coaches are accomplishing?
Well, they're very enthusiastic. You know, they run from station to station, and under the approach that hey, if we're not showing energy, the players aren't going to show that energy. I think they've got. It's a young staff. Basically, Ross Ells is the old guy there, he's not that old. It's a young and enthusiastic staff. And the one thing that I think that we saw last year was, as the season went on, you know, going into the season, Bo talked about being a walk-around head coach and, you know, doing a little bit more with the offense and so forth. But the bottom line is what he does best is defense. And I think as the last season went on, maybe he spent a little more time with the defense than he had at the beginning. And so that's the wild card in the defensive preparation is Bo over there being involved in it. And, that, you know, again, that's what he does best. So I think that there's going to be some transition, obviously, because you've got two new guys on the defensive staff. But I think that they fit the culture, and I don't like to use the word culture too often, but I think they fit that culture that Bo's trying to create. They have some experience there, and I think you can feel pretty good about that defensive staff. They're young and enthusiastic.
Mike, the depth at linebacker, when you bring up the defense, has been one thing. You think they're getting closer on that? Has anybody stepped up, if that's a term they like to use down there, to fill in those voids?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, as Sean Fisher pointed out, obviously it's not an easy thing to replace Levante David, but you've got three guys there that I think they feel pretty good about right now. The concern is depth, but, you know, Will Compton made the check calls last year anyway, as at Mike backer. Sean Fisher is finally healthy. He hasn't been healthy to this point. And Alonzo Whaley had kind of an eye-opening experience, I guess, when he wasn't invited to the 105 last year before the preseason. And, you know, Ross Ells has talked about how he didn't really – it was to the point where he really couldn't trust Alonzo Whaley to do the right thing on the field or off the field. And he's been transformed, and they feel pretty good about him. So the question is, you know, who are going to be the guys that step up as backups there at linebacker? That's probably the biggest concern. The other thing that's positive about it is you've got one season of having played in the Big Ten. I think that makes a difference because now they understand a little bit better what it is they're dealing with. And you saw it also reflected in recruiting when they signed four linebackers. So linebacker is going to be an important thing. Right now they don't have the depth, but I do think they have some veteran guys that they feel pretty good about. Again, a second season in the Big Ten is going to make a little bit of a difference in how they play, I think.
Last minute here with Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's touch on that, because once this spring game is over Saturday and the next week to 10 days, we talk about how great the fifth-string quarterback is and the fourth-string running back, because all you had to do is go to the last 20 games and that's what happens. Will be the talk about where Nebraska stacks up in the Big Ten. There's been plenty of changes in the Big Ten, coach-wise, personnel-wise. Your thoughts? A lot of people thought Nebraska was the favorite to win the division last year, and it just didn't happen. And where's Nebraska stack up this year?
You know, that's a good question, and I was one of those people that thought Nebraska would win its division and win that first conference championship. And I understand my ignorance now. The transition from Big 12 to Big 10 was more significant than I expected it to be. I'm seeing the same thing with Husker baseball transition to Big 10. I thought the baseball team would just roll right through the Big 10. I ignored the complexities of a transition. And so I don't have a really good feel, but I think Nebraska will be very competitive in the division and have an opportunity to win the Big Ten. I just don't have the certainty that I had a year ago, the foolish certainty that I had a year ago, ignoring how difficult it is to transition from one conference to another.
And before we let you go, I mean, Huskers Illustrated is chock full of football, but it's not always football. Your thoughts on Tim Miles and the change at the basketball and where we're at? I mean, we had him on Tuesday on the show, and I get it. He is being a salesman. But you pull away all that salesman stuff, what do we got?
Well, you know, my initial thought was the initial word was naive, and that's not really the right word. But I think he's optimistic enough and young enough and enthusiastic enough that if you can get this thing turned around, he can do it. Now, the question is that possible? You're dealing with 100-plus years worth of not very much success there, and I think you can't understand the implications of that to be successful. I don't know that he does. So I like his optimism. I like his enthusiasm. And again, if it can be done, I think he has the potential to do it. And I'm going to accept what Tom Osborne said about the time being right, and Tim Miles kind of echoing that the time is right. Nebraska has an opportunity, and as long as you don't set your goals to win the NCAA tournament, just to win a tournament game, I think that there's some realistic approach there.
Mike, you're the best. Appreciate the time you've given us today on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, guys, have a good weekend. We'll see you at the spring game.
Yep, see you tomorrow.
We'll be taking notes.
Thank you. We'll be doing something. Thanks, Mike.
You bet.
Mike Babcock, Huskers Illustrated.
I got to go to the Dent Popper inbox. Dennis in Hastings chimes in and says, Bo is way calmer this spring because he didn't have to worry about Carl anymore. I don't even know what that means. What was Carl doing down there? What's that imply, Dennis? Come on. Maybe that's one of the reasons. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Thanks for the email, though. We appreciate them. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperStation.com.
We are going to give you a chance to win some tickets to the Nebraska spring game here in just a little bit, so be listening for that in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Right now, Midway and Ram have got a great big deal going on. We're in the middle of this 96-hour plus because they extended it at Midway. They started it on Wednesday afternoon, and it goes all the way through the weekend.
Yep, until Monday, April 16th, you can get $9,233 off a new Ram pickup. Check out Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Kearney. They're going the extra mile for their customers. They're honoring the special. They started on Wednesday, like Doug said. It goes all the way to Monday. Two full more days. Those are gone, but you've still got the weekend. This deal won't be around forever, and neither will 30-plus Ram 1500s that are currently in stock. $9,233 off of brand-new Ram 1500s. They are flying off the lot faster than ever. Also, remember that when you purchase a new or pre-owned vehicle from Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, you'll also receive four free oil changes, two free tire rotations, and a lifetime of free car washes on Saturdays between 8 and 11 a.m. with savings of up to $9,233, four free oil changes, two free tire rotations, and the car washes. There have never truly been a better time to save on a new Ram truck. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Check it out going on this weekend until Monday, the 96-hour event. Get $9,000. More than $9,000 off your new Ram 1500.
Thank you. 888-455-ESPN. If you have not won spring game tickets yet this week, call now. We're going to give away our final pair of spring game tickets now. You're going to have to pick them up here at the studios in Kearney today because obviously it won't do us any good to mail. So call now. We've got some trivia questions. 888-455-3776. If you have not won so far this week, some spring game tickets, we're going to give you a chance to do so today. Daddy, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm fired up for it. Who are we speaking with?
Kelly,
what is Aurora's Andrew Rodriguez's jersey number?
78.
Try back. That is incorrect. And you're also wrong, Daddy. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Levi,
how you doing, man?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Who you got tomorrow, the red or the white?
I'm going with the red.
Daddy, do we have a spread on this yet?
Yeah, red by 6.5.
Whoa, crazy. You know, we got to take the unders because of the running clock in the second half.
Levi, you know a lot about Husker football?
Sometimes.
Okay.
All right, here we go. We've got more spring game questions to pass along to you today. Which of the following is I'm going to give you multiple choice. The most points ever scored in a spring game by one team were which? 63, 68, 70, 74.
63.
63, no, try back. 888-455. ESPN, the red team scored more than that in the 1986 spring game. Who are we chatting with?
Doug Sanders.
Doug, do you know Andrew Rodriguez's jersey number? It's in the 60s. I'm going to give you a 1 in 10 chance.
61.
61 is not it. Try back. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Aaron.
Aaron, this ex-Nebraska quarterback has the record for most touchdown passes in a spring game. Who is it?
Oh, Zach Taylor.
It is not Zach Taylor, which is what Daddy's guess was. No, try back. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
This is Kelly again.
Kelly, which quarterback has the most touchdown passes in a spring game?
Joe Daly.
That is
Daly out of the park.
Four in that 2004 spring game. Hang on the line. Kel, we'll get you these spring game tickets. Hang on the line. We'll take a break and be back with Steve Anderson from Fodder Park right after this.
The weather's getting warmer, and Lowe's has everything you need to make the most of spring. That's why Lowe's offers free delivery on all in-store and online purchases of riding and walk-behind mowers, grills, and patio sets, $249 or more. Plus, save more by choosing 18-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offer is valid through April 16th. Special financing cannot be combined with 5% off everyday credit offer. See store for details.
That's the sound of an engine running on the strength of Castrol Edge. This is that same engine in the middle of a hot desert. Now in the cold of the Arctic. Now on a mountain. On a dark and stormy night. In the clouds. In a dream within a dream. We test and perfect Castrol Edge to be its strongest no matter what you put it through. Visit youtube.com/CastrolUSA to see how. Castrol Edge. It's more than just oil. It's liquid engineering.
So, it was a Friday night. One of my buddies wanted to play pool. The other wanted to go grab a bite to eat. And me, well, I just wanted a cold beer and some good entertainment. So to keep everyone happy, we went to Cunningham's Journal. It's like three places in one. Upstairs is the loft where you can play pool and listen to some good tunes. Outside is the courtyard where they have live entertainment every week. And inside, there are a bajillion TV screens with all the games any sports fan can handle. Great food and, of course, the coldest beer in town. So problem solved. Everyone's happy. Thanks to Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll have a blend of clouds and sunshine here for today with a slight chance for some scattered showers or storms early on. We'll have winds turning westerly at 5 to 15 miles per hour, and we'll see a high near 74 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Right now, 61.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Some of those other trivia questions I asked, what were they? Oh, Andrew Rodriguez wears number 63. The most points in a spring game, 70, was the answer to that trivia question.
73 points in a spring game.
It was 70.
70. I mean, who? I mean, seriously, when you were rattling those off, I would have taken the lowest one also, thinking.
Steve Anderson, track announcer at Fauner Park. Steve, if the wind's blowing 35 mile an hour and those jockeys and those horses hit the corner on that oval, which has a lot of turns on it, how does that affect the racing, man? I mean, is it an underdog's paradise, long shot paradise?
It depends on what direction the wind's coming in, Doug. I haven't peeked outside yet this morning. Give me a clue, and I'll tell you.
The wind here outside our studios actually isn't howling at the moment, but, Daddy, I would say it's coming out of the south, southwest.
Southwest, it looks like.
Kind of a westerly wind.
Westerlies, yes.
Okay, well, crosswind's not good because in that doesn't lend itself to a track bias, but my experience has been, and just as sure as I tell you this, it'll reverse today. But normally the wind is either out of the south or southwest, or it's straight out of the north or northwest, which does affect the horses on the turns and certainly coming down the stretch. My rule of thumb has been if it's out of the south and it's a distinguishable number, like 20 miles an hour or more, which is just a typical day here in Nebraska, then you better bet on closers, because that headwind for the speed horses that hit the top of the stretch at Fauner Park, even though it's a short stretch, really benefits the horses that come from off the pace. It seems like it just takes the wind right out of the speed horses. Conversely, if the wind is out of the north and these horses that run into it into the far turn now get the wind at their back at the eighth pole, they just seem to carry right on to the finish line, and the closers have no shot whatsoever. Now, how you plug that in versus long shots versus favorites, you know, the way I've been picking them the last couple of weeks, guys, you just throw it dark, because I can't lend a whole lot of help in that regard. I got my foot caught in the saddle right now, in case you hadn't noticed.
So don't take closers, then. That's the advice? You can get up front and buck that wind?
Today, if it's not a crosswind, then it has no effect whatsoever. But if it's coming out of the south or southwest, Doug, you want to take the closers, because
okay,
the headwind
yeah.
hit not the speed horses. They're coming from the north now, remember?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I heard that right, Steve-O.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure I heard that right, because I like the closers anyway, because those are the ones that either, well, you know, if you got the lead horse, then they catch him, and if you got a closer, they don't catch him. So that's the way it
exactly.
works. Let's,
but I'm just like a guy that's counting football games. The next interview I do today, I'm just going to reverse that. Half the people will be happy with me all the time.
Before we look at the card today and the stakes races tomorrow and what's going on this weekend at Fauner, bad news for the horse racing industry. We got the passage by the legislature, and then Governor Heineman, for some reason, vetoes the taped horse racing bill. And I know your article in the Independent today is basically on that, with comments from folks all over Fauner. Obviously, from your side, it's going to be one-sided. But just your thoughts. This isn't going to get overridden. I think we all know that. So your thoughts.
You know, to say that the atmosphere was glum the last few days is an understatement. And you hate to paint any kind of picture like that with horse racing. You know, we want you to come to the track, guys, and leave your worries behind and just have a pleasurable experience and enjoy yourself. And when the folks that are putting on the show aren't enjoying themselves, as the case may be, at least over the last few days. But I'm going to tell you something about racetrack people. I've grown to love and admire these folks. So many of them come from third and fourth generations of families that have been involved in horse racing just here in Nebraska alone. And, they could have folded their tents in the mid-90s when Exarban went down in flames. They didn't. They persevered. How, when you look back over the course of the last 17 years, how they were able to pull that off, I do not know. I'm fortunate enough to do a lot of traveling around the country. Nebraska racing, in almost any other venue in the United States, has so much respect. So many of the horsemen started out in Nebraska over the course of time and ultimately moved on to bigger venues, bigger purses, bigger paydays, so on and so forth, and bigger races. But there's a lot of respect out there for Nebraska horsemen. They're not down. They're not out officially yet. But as you gathered from the tone of my column this morning, guys, I mean, we're down to just a hope, a whole lot of prayer. And, you know, I know one guy that he performs miracles by appointment only. I got a call in for him, but he's not even answering the phone. But, you know, they're desperately in need of four more votes. When I say that, the proponents of LB 806, there were five abstaining state senators to try to get four of those five to break loose and go in our direction. I just don't know how you can even optimistically hope for that. But the guys that are in tune with the lobbyists down in Lincoln said that if they did not think they couldn't pull this off, they wouldn't waste the state senator's time. And they will be voting and debating this issue on an override on Wednesday of next week. So consequently, they've got petitions out on the Internet. If you come to the track this weekend, guys, you're going to have a petition probably shoved in front of your face for your signature, just echoing your support for LB 806. You know, and it's difficult to describe what this bill entailed other than the fact it would have allowed historical gaming machines to be placed in all five of the Nebraska racetracks. These machines are in place in Arkansas and Kentucky. They are revenue producers not only for the tracks, for purses, but for the states themselves. They projected that if they put these machines in the first year, the state of Nebraska would net a minimum of $10 million. And I think these figures are way low. But besides that fact, it preserves jobs. There's thousands of people that are involved, not only at the racetrack, but it digs deep down into the roots of our agricultural base. You know, I've debated this thing with you guys over the years, and you wonder, how in the world did they ever legalize horse racing back in the mid-30s? Until you start to think about the farmer that brings the hay, the straw, the alfalfa in, the feed guys, the horseshoer, the vets, all that are agriculturally related. And then you go, you know, our forefathers did have it right. What boggles my mind is, then how did we get the lottery and Keno in here and then can't do the right thing and just modernize horse racing by implementing these machines that gives horse racing just a little bit of a fairer playing field against the casinos that have surrounded this state and are just sucking hundreds of millions of dollars from the coffers that could stay right here and go up tremendous use. So I'll get off my bandwagon. I don't know how they're going to get the votes, guys. I dearly hope that I am totally wrong. Governor Heineman did not surprise me by vetoing this. He had a lot of pressure from both sides. I know the decision was not easy, but once again, you know my feelings about politics, these guys just can't do the right thing.
Well, you know, why would we generate tens of millions of dollars for our state when we can send it across the borders? That's pretty obvious.
Amen. I, Tony, I went to visit my son and my new baby granddaughter in Omaha just last Sunday and Monday since we were dark on Easter. And I want to tell you, it broke my heart. One, when driving by the old spot where Exarban used to sit first and foremost, that brings back so many great memories. But to drive across Missouri River and just drive by the three casinos over there, these places were packed on Easter Sunday morning. And I can vouch for the fact that 80 to 90% of those cars had Nebraska license plates on them. They are producing hundreds of millions of dollars every year in tax monies from those three casinos in Council Bluffs, Iowa, for the state of Iowa. The sucking sound last Sunday, Tony, was deafening. Unbelievable.
And it was great to see the TV interview with the, what is it, Saving the Good Life or whatever it is, the anti-gambling faction, you know, the 65, 70-year-old grandma that's out there as the head of this. Boy, that's who you want foreseeing the future of this state. Couple minutes left with Steve Anderson. For our Wyoming fans today, Cowboy Joe is in the fifth race at Fodder Park. And if you want to win money, even Randy Monk says that Ordway Falls in Love in the seventh race is going to hit the board. You got, what do you got for me today?
I was so bold to just give you an early daily double last week, and I don't think I've picked a winner since, guys.
That was bad. It was terrible.
I will tell you this, and I just turned my selections into the satellite truck guys, and they put it on their graphics for the whole world to see.
They start laughing.
You know, they're even posting my picks now on FodderPark.com. Believe it or not, there's some demand out there. And all I can say is, you know, you go through a period of dry spells, but truly, I do my handicapping, and all joking aside, in a very serious mode. I know because people take this serious. So my selections are up there. I like Ordway Falls in Love today, too, Doug. So, you know, this being Friday the 13th, please, if you come to the racetrack, just check out, go to the restroom, get caught up in the beverage line, whatever, and pass on that race because I have a bad feeling. I have a bad feeling about the Ord ties on this particular day.
Baxter Stakes tomorrow. Hit on that, and what else is going on this weekend at Fawner?
Yeah, we've got a full field going to the post in the Baxter, and, you know, we got a couple of fillies in there running against the boys, six furlongs. That I really like. Yellow Chumarine is a horse I wrote about last week in the local newspaper, and she is an Idaho bred thing, and she has just come into her own, which you don't see much. She's young. She's only a three-year-old, but she'll have her work cut out for her. Shotgun Willie, horse like Diamond Joe, Sun Charmer out of the Kim Verhuizen barn that they have. And this is a California bred horse that Kim has talked at length to me about. They really, really are high on some charmers. So, yeah, there's a lot of good races on the card tomorrow, guys, in addition to the Baxter Stakes. And I should throw out there that if you show up tomorrow early, preferably, the track is going to give away a $1,000 voucher to be used any way that the winner wants to use it on live racing. So you could bet $1,000 to win. Not on Ordway Falls in Love today, guys. This is for tomorrow. Or you can spread it out over the course of the whole day. So, you know, the track is softening their stance a little bit on trying to give things back to the fans. It's always been kind of a reluctant thing as far as the behavior of racetracks around the country. But this is a positive thing that's come from the casino-type mentality. And so tomorrow, you know, come early and drop your name in the hat. You might even win a trip for two to the Breeders' Cup, guys. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on.
Well, it should be a fun day. Do you follow the spring game when you're calling the races, Steve? Do you know what the score is at all times?
You know, Tony, I don't. I covered that spring game for a minimum of 10 years, and coupled with the Shrine Bowl, those are two games that if I never, ever see them again or even read about them, will be not too soon. I had my fill of both. I know the avid Husker fans, that'll rattle their cage, but give me the real stuff, guys. I'm as true and blue to the Huskers as anybody is, but the spring game, no. I got my head buried in the form at Fodder Park on Saturdays.
Well, Steve-O, we look forward. I'm going to slide over there and hopefully I get a chance, if it's not too windy, to make it all the way up in the perch. See you later today, and I know it'll be a great weekend, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Hey, as always, guys, it's a pleasure. You know, we can't wait to see you. Doug and Daddy and all your fans at the races.
Steve Anderson, track announcer, Fodder Park, always gracious with his time. It's going to be a fun day today, and anytime you go to Fodder, a lot of fun. We're going to be back to wrap things up right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hi, I'm Ryan Newman, driver of the number 39 Quicken Loan Chevy for Stuart Haas Racing. I've got a question for you. Want to be my boss? No, really, I'm serious. It can happen when you enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes. Win, and for one amazing race weekend, you'll be an honorary co-owner of the Stuart Haas race team. Enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes today at QLRacing.com. You'll get to hang with me, my other boss, Tony Stewart, and the whole crew. Pretty cool, huh? Oh, and get this. If you win, you'll also walk away with $10,000. Got your attention there, didn't I? So come on, what are you waiting for? Enter the Quicken Loans You're the Boss sweepstakes today at QLRacing.com. That's QLRacing.com.
No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 United States and D.C. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 4/30/12. For official rules and complete details, visit QLRacing.com. Sponsor Quicken Loans Incorporated. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Since Haugi took over, I think we've had success against most teams. We've done really well.
I have a lot of confidence. I mean, I like playoffs. Those are the funnest games. We'll dig our way out of Waterloo, Omaha, Lincoln, whoever we get. You know, find a way to advance. That's the spot we're in right now, so we got to find a way.
With a new coach and a magic number on a banner, the Tri-City Storm prevail and will be in the USHL playoffs. Coverage of the Storm's first round on Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation Sports and the Doug and Daddy Show. Plus, shot-by-shot, save-by-save coverage begins Monday on Classic Hits, 98.9 FM.
We'll have a blend of clouds and sunshine here for today with a slight chance for some scattered showers or storms early on. We'll have winds turning westerly at 5 to 15 miles per hour, and we'll see a high near 74 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Right now, 61.
Oh, daddy, daddy, daddy. Even when the Cubs are doing great things, they always find a way to make the highlight reel. How far did Matt Garza throw that thing up into the stands?
That'd be beyond a tape measure shot there. I mean,
so let's take him out. Yeah, he's got an 8-0 lead, and he threw it in the stands. Yeah, we better yank him. Again, way to overmanage. For a second straight spring, UNK volleyball team will be hosting a Division I tournament next Saturday at the Health and Sports Center. Kansas State, Creighton, Wyoming, Northern Colorado, among the teams that will be coming in for that tournament, which is next weekend. But Tri-City Storm hockey tonight and tomorrow on Classic Hits 98.9. They're at Waterloo tonight, Sioux Falls tomorrow, and you can catch those on Classic Hits 98.9, plus the playoffs start on Monday. Nebraska Danger back home tomorrow night, 7:05 against the Wichita Wild. That is going on at the Heartland Events Center. Because of the forecast, I guess, the Hastings baseball at Morningside has been moved to today. So they're going to start that at 5 o'clock this afternoon. The Nebraska School Activities Association voted to keep state soccer and state track in Omaha through 2015. So keep that track going.
Well, I don't know.
There's no place else to host
track.
Yeah,
that's what I was going
to
say.
I don't know about soccer, but there's no place else to host track. So there you go. Daddy, some bad news at UNK. Sam Hutzel, who was probably going to be going into the fall camp leading the quarterback race, has decided to leave the program. We don't know much more than that, but UNK without Jake Spitzelberger and a pretty wide-open quarterback race is now very, very thin there.
Boy, I sure wish Riker Fife was around.
Boxing tomorrow night, the Buffalo County Brawl. Get your tickets, check it out at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. Don't forget, with UNK baseball tonight, you've got the fundraiser for Blake Cover and the UNK students and student athletes that are going to the Dominican Republic on the medical ministry. And we had Blake on Wednesday. If you want more on that, you can listen to our podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. Admission is free. They've got an All-American hot dog meal. They'll have Split the Pot. They'll have raffles and a whole bunch of things going on there. Would you want to see your favorite NFL team on Hard Knocks? 60% of you said yes. 40% said no. Now, what excites you most about the Husker spring game? That's our poll question for the weekend. Daddy, seeing how the players have developed since the bowl game? Tailgating like it's a game day Saturday? Nothing. I only pay attention in the fall.
I'm going to go with C.
Nothing.
I'd say nothing.
You can vote on that. Pick up your ESPN Rewards Fan Club points today at ESPNSuperstation.com. Don't forget, folks, whether you are in the mood for a half pounder or just one of your favorite bazillion sandwiches, are there for you at Big Daddy's Deli, two locations in Hastings at 801 West 2nd and 610 East South Street. And in Kearney, top of the hill, 3905 North 2nd Avenue, we're going to be giving you chances this summer to win free meals from Big Daddy's Deli. So be listening for that. They've got soups, salads, drinks. Oh, so good. So many to choose from. As I said, big fan of the 48. The super combo with salami, turkey, and bacon.
21!
Pastrami and turkey, the 33. You like the smokehouse with the roast pork, bacon. They love that as well. It's all at our friends at Big Daddy's Deli. Daddy, I'm going to the spring game, obviously, to get some work done. We'll be bringing you some interviews on Monday and breaking down Nebraska football as they head into the weekend, head into the summer.
I'll be, you know, they're going to replay it on Big Ten Network for fans out there. You know what? I'm going to tape the game, and I'm going to take notice. I'm interested, actually, a little bit in the offensive line. I want to see I want to see who's coming around, especially the center position. I think that's, if it's Pensick, great. Hopefully we do a capable job and restore some Nebraska offensive line tradition there.
We'll have some guests to break down the spring game on Monday's show. Also next week on Tuesday, Craig Sesker from USA Wrestling to preview the Olympic Wrestling Trials, which are next weekend in Iowa City. And, of course, former Huskers and Lopers will be there, and a good crowd from the Midwest at the Olympic Trials. And we'll keep you up to date on what's going on with the Broncos, the Lopers, and the Huskers in all sports next week on the Doug and Daddy Show. We want to thank Steve Anderson, track announcer at Fauner Park, and Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated for joining us on today's Doug and Daddy Show. The spring game tomorrow, in case you can't get to it, will be on the Breeze 94.5 FM pregame at 11.
Hey, folks, enjoy the weekend. Be safe. We'll see you on Monday. Doug and Daddy on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Catch some fish. And, by the way, happy 50th birthday to your buddy, Donnie Snyder. DS, got five punches coming your way. It's his 50th birthday today.
Happy birthday, Don.
See you, boys.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.